This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal'aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala nabiyyihi al-kareem. Alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu at-taslim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, the sun has arrived. Alhamdulillah, nice and bright. I was just going to say, turn the lights on. Now I need my sunglasses. No, mashallah, tabarakallah. I'm still going to say it. If any of the sisters are in the back, or if we can do that, maybe just open the lights in the sisters' area, so it brightens up the masjid a little bit. Don't worry, inshallah, as we leave, we'll all contribute a little bit towards the electricity bill. There we go, alhamdulillah. I'm sure there's another row of lights that can open as well. Let's try and have those on also. And the partition is up, mashallah, very thick, solid partition. That one, I believe, is broken. Hey? No, don't use that one. That one is broken. It's fallen before, so just leave it aside. We don't want it to fall on anyone. I'm not signing the waiver. I personally think the two that are there is enough. That third one we can just leave over there, inshallah. We don't really need it. Yeah, just to be on the safe side, inshallah. Because if that falls on someone's head, that's going to hurt, subhanallah. Okay. So let's get started, inshallah. We do have a quiz at the end of today's halaqah that we will do. So for those that are here that have a smartphone or internet connection on their tablet or something of that sort, then, you know, maybe some of the parents, if they're going to let their children do it, just have it ready for them, paired, tethered, whatever you want to do. We're going to try and finish a little bit, just, you know, a few minutes early, inshallah ta'ala. We'll let you know at the end why we're finishing. I'm not flying anywhere, don't worry. Alhamdulillah, I'm here. We'll be here for Isha if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the life until then. But today what we want to focus on is controlling ourselves, and in particular, controlling our nafs. One of the most difficult things for us to do as human beings is to control our nafs or our desires. And I want us to focus on a statement of one of the tabi'een, one of the pious people of the past. But at the same time, before we do that, I want to bring to our attention the fact that the month of Ramadan is coming very, very quickly. Right? Ramadan is coming really, really quickly. We just finished Ramadan. You know, we technically just got out of the mode of Eid. We're starting to relax now. And subhanAllah, Ramadan is coming back. Right? That's how quick it goes. Now, the fact that Ramadan is coming very quickly, all the time, whenever the month starts, we always focus on how we're supposed to increase our iman, but stabilize it at the same time. So my reminder tonight, insha'Allah ta'ala, is more on the stability of our iman. Like, have we stabilized our level of iman, or are we still, you know, that analog fluctuation that's just going up and down, up and down, up and down? One day it's high, the next day it's low, a weekend we attend a conference, you know, Tuesday it drops and plummets, Friday we come back for Jumu'ah, and then, you know, Saturday it's back down again. And so subhanAllah, there needs to be some sort of consistency in our level of iman. Yes, it fluctuates a little bit, but it shouldn't be so drastic. Okay, it shouldn't be so drastic. To the extent that our iman is here, and Ramadan comes or arrives and it goes up here, and for 30 days it's just hovering around there, or for 10 days it's here, then for 10 days it's there, and then for 10 days it's back up high, and then 2 or 3 days after Eid it plummets again. It shouldn't be that way. And one of the most important aspects of Ramadan is that we control ourselves. During the month of Ramadan, can we just go and eat something? Can I just see this cup in the middle of the day, sun is shining, and bismillah? Can I do that? Yes, I can, because I might be a traveler, right? Or I might be sick, right? Subhanallah. But technically, no, he's absolutely right. During the day, during Ramadan, if we're mature adults, etc., we know all the conditions. If we can fast, we must fast, right? Or if we meet the conditions, we must fast. And so it's important for us to do that. Now we control ourselves in terms of what we eat and what we drink, what we consume. But at the same time, do we control ourselves in how we speak during Ramadan? Is that something that we do? Hello? Is that something that we do during Ramadan? Yes, of course. You'll notice the average person during the month of Ramadan will always say or be very comfortable saying, I'm fasting, right? Inni sa'im, inni sa'im. I'm fasting, I'm fasting. Someone comes and argues, husband and wife, they're arguing. You know, the children may be doing something they shouldn't be doing at home. And the father says, don't make me get upset, I'm fasting. But why is it throughout the rest of the year we're not fasting? As in, we're not controlling what we say. We're not controlling how we say it. We're not controlling our level of backbiting or our level of speech in how we speak, the tone of speech, the words that we use, and so on and so forth. And so because the month of Ramadan is coming and because we need to be focusing on controlling ourselves, we want to focus on, like I mentioned earlier, striving to gain control of things that will keep us in tact or keep us on track until the month of Ramadan begins so that we can focus on that. Now, one of the statements of the people of the past, subhanAllah, Yahya bin Mu'adh al-Razi, he said, fight against yourself, as in your soul, your own self, your desires. He says, fight against yourself with four swords of training. Okay, four items of training, four things that we need to try and control. And we need to work with ourselves to control. These four things are, and he says, eat little, sleep little, speak little, and be patient when people harm you. Eat little, sleep little, speak little, and be patient when people harm you. Now that's absolutely important, subhanAllah, because when we think of the month of Ramadan, we eat little, right? We sleep little, we speak little, because we're so worried, you know, we're like, I'm fasting, don't make me argue with you. And when someone tries to harm us, we're patient. Now, if that's the way we are during the month of Ramadan, how can we be that way now? It's not Ramadan. We're not fasting. We should be aware. We should be conscious. We should be paying attention to ourselves and controlling ourselves and not giving in to our desires. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he said, I never dealt with anything stronger against my own self than my own self. As in, we need to force ourselves to be a certain way. Without our own selves, we can't achieve that. Right? We're not going to be able to achieve that. So let's look at a few things, insha'Allah ta'ala. We're going to focus on these four categories. What are they? Oh, just one. Eat little. Sleep little. Speak little, very good. And we mentioned sleep little. You were sleeping, mashallah. Just a little bit, right? Just I slept a little bit only, yeah. Be patient when people harm us. Very good. Now let's look at eating a little bit. What is considered eating a little? Islamically, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is eating a little? How are we supposed to eat? What is the sunnah in eating food? Does anyone know? Very good, mashallah. Before we eat, we say bismillah. But we're not talking about the tartib or the method of eating. We're talking about the amount of foods that we eat. What is the sunnah with regards to eating food? Yes. And that's 3/4 of your stomach? MashaAllah, you have a big stomach. Alhamdulillah. Your stomach is 10 quarters. Right? Alhamdulillah. Yes. 1/3 for food or solids, 1/3 for liquids, and 1/3 for air. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Very good. Start eating with your right hand. Alhamdulillah. Yes. Okay, so if you eat too much, your stomach is going to be full and then there's no space for water and air. What about from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you raising your hand or no? MashaAllah, the light, the way it is, it looks like you're raising your hand. Alhamdulillah. Any of the sisters know? Sister's like, we know how to cook the food because our husbands don't let us do anything else. Please tell the husbands to cook so we can go and do something else, right? Yes. Only 2 bites. Oh, few bites. SubhanAllah, I said 2 bites, mashallah. Very good. So the sister says, we only need a few bites in order to fill our stomachs. Okay, good. Anyone else? Very good. Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet ﷺ tells us that we are a people that we don't eat unless we're hungry, right? And subhanAllah, I want to look at this. I want to look at this from a different angle. Many of us think, yeah? Enough to keep your back straight. Alhamdulillah. Let's look at how the Prophet ﷺ used to eat. There were times when the Prophet ﷺ had nothing in his home. Absolutely nothing. And we know that because I've mentioned to you the story time and time again of how Aisha radiallahu anha had a single date, or she had a few dates, 3 dates. A mother would come by and give, you know, she would give the 3 dates away, one to the mother, one to each of the children. And then Aisha radiallahu anha would see the mother, right, in the example, the mother would watch her children eat each of their dates, and then they would still say that they're hungry, and the mother would break the date in half and give one half to each one of the children, and then the mother would have nothing for herself. And she would tell this story to the Prophet ﷺ when he comes home. Which means, how much food was in the house of the Prophet ﷺ? Nothing, exactly. Nothing. There was nothing. Sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would tie a stone to his stomach. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as well would tie a stone to their stomach. Why? To keep their back straight. There were times when they had no food. There were times when they had food, but they would give it to others because other people were more in need and did not have food for a longer period of time than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some of those major sahaba, or those that were very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when we talk about eating and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate, how did he used to eat? Like when he had food in front of him, let's say someone roasted an animal, right? A nice lamb was roasted or barbecued in front of them, and they got to eat from it. How would the Prophet ﷺ eat? First of all, a lot of people don't know, he had something like a fork. Right? The Prophet ﷺ actually, and I have a picture of a replica of it, he had something that looked like, it was more like a spork. You know what a spork is? It's a spoon and a fork. Okay? And he would use this whenever there was a big piece of meat or a piece of meat in front of them. He would use this to dig into the piece of meat and break a piece off of it. And sometimes he would put it directly into his mouth, and other times he would just use it to break the meat or to cut the meat and then to separate it. He would separate it and eat it with his hand, right? So yes, the Prophet ﷺ had a utensil. He would use it sometimes when they had soup, right? He would eat his soup like that with that utensil. Right, so, and we know this because the Prophet ﷺ would not like when we take a bottle that we can share with other people and just drink out of it. Or take a big vessel like a bowl and drink out of it ourselves, right? Because then what are we doing? We're technically not caring or thinking of the other person. So the Prophet ﷺ would encourage the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to eat from their side, to take from their side, and so on and so forth. And here we see that the Prophet ﷺ, when he would eat, he would take a portion and he would eat from it. But the amount that he would eat was enough until his hunger went away. Until you don't feel that hunger inside of you anymore. Now many of us will constantly quote the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he says, if you need to eat, then eat 1/3 solids and 1/3 liquid and 1/3 leave for air, which we do the absolute opposite, right? We leave nothing left for air and we can't even breathe after we're done eating. But subhanAllah, I want everyone to put their fist up in the air. Just make a fist and put it up in the air. Good. You see the size of your fist? Is anyone here a medical doctor? Anyone? No medical doctors? MashaAllah, tawarak. You're a medical doctor? How big is the stomach? MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. When it is not expanded, because we know the stomach expands, we put food in it, it's like an elastic. When it's not expanded, how big is the stomach on average? 10 centimeters, mashallah. About the size of a fist? No, no, not when it's expanded. When it is in its normal state. Okay, between 5 and 10 centimeters. I've asked quite a few doctors this question. Many of them have told me the size of a person's fist. Other doctors have said the size of your fist with your other hand over it, right? So with basically an extra centimeter all around the size of your fist, right? Which is a rough estimate. Now we know that the stomach expands, but the Prophet ﷺ doesn't tell us to fill your stomach until it begins to expand. In fact, he says the worst of vessels that we can fill is our stomach. The worst thing, the worst vessel, the worst container that we can fill is the container of the stomach. But subhanAllah, when we eat, we fill our stomach so much that we can't even move. Now that's with regards to food. Now if we know that we're supposed to eat a little, then eating a little is to eat until we no longer feel that hunger. For some people it's a few bites, for other people it's, you know, a decent amount, because some people's stomachs stretch so much they don't know the difference between when it's stretched and not stretched, right? But subhanAllah, on average, when we think of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that a person, if he is to eat, he should fill his stomach one third with solids and one third with liquids, that is the maximum amount that the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to eat. The maximum amount. Now you look at your fist and you think to yourself, the burger I ate last night is about 1.5 times the size of my fist. Just the burger. Not including the fries, not including the drink, not including the dessert, not including, you know, going and getting some tea or coffee after that, maybe even another donut or something. And subhanAllah, how big does our stomach stretch when we technically don't need to fill it that way? Now there are some harms that come our way when we fill our stomach. When a person eats too much, one of the biggest problems is that they then tend to sleep too much. And that's exactly what Yahya bin Mu'adh al-Razi tells us. He says, eat less after, sleep less, right? Eat less and then sleep less. How does a person sleep less? They have to make sure that they eat less. Now this is all part of controlling ourselves. And the month of Ramadan is coming. If we don't start controlling ourselves now, the days are 17 hours long, subhanAllah. 16 and a half, 17 hours long of fasting. How are we going to do it? Of course we know we fast with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you know those first few days when a person starts to feel those withdrawal syndromes, like withdrawal from food and liquid, right? Not drugs or anything, but withdrawal from food. We don't have the food. A person gets that severe headache. They can no longer come to the masjid for Maghrib or Isha because their head is just pounding. They start to become dehydrated because the days are really long and it's been a few days of fasting, 2 or 3 days now. A person, if they're regularly in tune with eating right and eating healthy, and that was also another aspect of food when it came to the life of the Prophet ﷺ. There were certain things that he liked to eat. Proteins, fiber. You get that from meat. You get that from dates, right? Or fruits and vegetables. Wheat, right? Barley and so on and so forth. These are things that the Prophet ﷺ liked. Bread. And a type of dip that was actually like vinegar. And you know when you go to an Italian restaurant and they give you olive oil and vinegar and they swirl it in a plate and they give you bread and they dip it in? That was actually from the favorite foods of the Prophet ﷺ. He mentioned in a hadith that from his favorite food is to have bread with that vinegar dip. Right, he would dip his bread in the vinegar and just eat it. And from the things that the Prophet ﷺ also loved and encouraged was olive oil. And so subhanAllah, you go to an Italian restaurant and you wonder to yourself, wow, the Prophet ﷺ loved this stuff. And we sit there and we just look at it and we waste the bread and waste stuff. No, eat it. In fact, that should be the highlight of the meal. Now everyone has a different type of taste and we don't encourage everyone to just eat things that they don't like. Eat what you like from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when a person eats a lot, they then fall into the next category where he says, sleep less. And a person cannot sleep less if they're eating too much. But there are certain benefits that come from sleeping less. From the benefits of sleeping less are that your memory increases. Is anyone here reading or memorizing the Qur'an? Any of these youth memorizing Qur'an or learning to read some Qur'an? Raise your hand if you're learning to read or memorizing Qur'an. Yeah, all of you, mashallah. Even the adults, every single one of us. Even if we've memorized the Qur'an, we still revise the Qur'an. And one of the most important aspects of learning the Qur'an is to eat right and to sleep right. And many students who do not sleep properly will not be able to retain the Qur'an as best as someone who sleeps a little bit less. Now, what does it mean to sleep less? Do we mean don't sleep at all? Do we mean don't sleep at all? No. What was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in sleep? Who can tell us his routine in sleep? Yes. Okay. After Isha, go to sleep and get up for tahajjud. That's it. Okay. Yes. Okay, sleep after Dhuhr. MashaAllah, everyone knows when to go to sleep, right? No one knows when to wake up. Very good. Okay, sleep after Dhuhr, that's a qailula, that's no more than 30 minutes, right? Very short, subhanAllah. Anyone else?
We have an example in Arabic. La ta'kul wa tanam. La ta'kul wa tanam. Oh, logically, don't eat and go and sleep.
Very good.
Everything,
right. It's not good for the brain either. Yeah. Subhanallah. Okay. But what about when did the Prophet ﷺ go to sleep? We know he went to sleep after Isha, right? Alhamdulillah. Hopefully we know that, right? So the Prophet ﷺ would go to sleep after Isha. He would sleep how much of the night? Hey? Two-thirds of the night. He would sleep, half of the night. The Prophet ﷺ would sleep half of the night and wake up. So break the night into six parts. He would sleep for half of the night. Then he would wake up for one third of the night. Then he would go back to sleep for one sixth of the night. And then he would wake up for Salat al-Fajr. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many of us can do that? We can do it. But how many of us do it on a regular basis? Not, probably none of us, right? Because it's too difficult. If we go to sleep, wake up, and go to sleep and wake up, we're probably not going to wake up for one of the things we need to wake up. Either work, or fajr, or qiyam, tahajjud, in the middle of the night, right? So subhanAllah, we see from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the importance of being able to wake up. Now, how do we wake up? Our brother, you know, subhanAllah, he just mentioned it. Never go to sleep right after eating. Why? Because you will not be able to wake up. It's very simple. Now when we eat a little, when we then go to sleep, we find it much easier to wake up. Try it. Tonight, how many of you did not eat supper yet? Raise your hand if you did not eat supper yet. Be honest. You see, half of them. The other half are shy to raise their hands. Good. Those that did not eat supper yet, don't eat supper tonight. Now the mother's like, no, I cook supper. Don't eat supper tonight. Try this as an experiment, right? Give the food away, just give it to the neighbors, right? Or something, right? Go to sleep hungry. And you'll see at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're going to wake up hungry. Naturally, you won't hear the alarm clock. You're not gonna hear that annoying, coming from your father's room, right? That thing that's really loud that you just want to take a hammer and smash and break, right? You won't hear that. You're gonna wake up and you're gonna look at the clock and say, "Oh, it's only 4 o'clock. Subhanallah, why am I awake?" You're awake because Allah woke you up, because you are hungry, because it's time for you to pray, because it's time for you to recite Quran, it's time for you to stand before Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, because you went to sleep with an empty stomach. There was no need for the alarm clock. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he would pray a little, and then he would go to sleep a little bit. Very, very short sleep, like a nap before Salat al-Fajr. Right? And that's why, subhanAllah, when the Prophet ﷺ would pray his 2 raka'ah of sunnah before Fajr, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that he would pray them so quickly, in his standards, not our standards. We're professionals at praying quickly, right? In his standards, she would see him praying them so quickly that she said, I wouldn't know if he even recited Fatiha. I wouldn't know if he even recited Surah Al-Fatiha. That's how quickly he was doing his two rak'ah. Right? He was just very quickly, subhanAllah, his standards again, right? Showing us or indicating to us, subhanAllah, that the Prophet ﷺ would spend a lot of time in the night prayer. Qiyamul Layl, Tahajjud, he would wake up during that time, subhanAllah. And that was the time that he dedicated in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then take a nap, then wake up very quickly, you make your wudu and you head to the masjid for Salat al-Fajr. That was the sleep of the Prophet ﷺ. We move to the next, what time is Isha today? 9:30, okay, good, alhamdulillah. The next part of the statement of Yahya bin Mu'adh al-Razi, he says, speak little, speak a little bit. Now what does it mean to speak a little? According to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, can anyone tell us what it means to speak a little bit? Other than you, because mashallah, you're going to get a prize for knowing everything, alhamdulillah. Anyone else? Any of the sisters know what the sunnah is in terms of speaking? Yes.
Speak only when you need.
Okay, very good. Speak only when you need to speak. Good. Very good. When you have something to say and it's good, say it. If you have nothing good to say, then don't say it. Even if you want to speak. Even if you want to say it. Very good. Ah, that's a really good point that I did not think of when I was preparing tonight. Do not overwhelm someone with too many questions. لا تسألوا عن أشياء إن تبدى لكم تسؤكم. The Prophet ﷺ, he would encourage the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, do not ask too many things. Do not ask so many questions that those questions are going to complicate your life. They're going to make things difficult for you. Right? So what you know, implement that. What you understand or what you've learned already, implement that and don't ask too many questions. Very good. Yes.
Don't ask
about irrelevant things and don't speak about things that are irrelevant. Very good. Yes. No backbiting. So when we speak, we only speak about things that are necessity and not speaking about things that we do not need to say or about other people. Yes. Sorry? Very good. Listen more than you speak. Why do we listen more than we speak? We have two ears and only one mouth, mashallah, right? So subhanAllah, we should be listening double the amount of time that we speak. And subhanAllah, if that was the case, we would see that it's always quiet, right? People would only speak when they need to speak. Yes, you had your hand up? Sorry? Nothing? Okay, alhamdulillah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, as in the day of judgment, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا, then say that which is good. Say good things. أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ, or remain silent. Don't say anything at all. You don't need to speak. Now subhanAllah, when we say or when we hear someone telling us, speak little, that means only speak when we need to speak. Like you're hungry, you go and tell your mom or your dad, I'm hungry, right? Or you're upset with your child, you go and you tell your child you're upset with them. But your child does something good, you go and you tell them that you're happy with them as well. Right? This is a mistake that parents make. We only go and tell our children things, especially fathers. We only go and tell them the bad things that they do and how we're really upset with them and we don't want to see them do it again. But as parents, we should be focusing more on telling them good things. I like that you did this. I'm happy. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. That was amazing. Alhamdulillah. You should do that more often. That makes me happy. I love you because you do this. And when we tell our children more of the good things, they will want to do more of the good things because they know that's what makes us happy. And so the Prophet ﷺ would encourage us, if we're going to say something, then we should only say the things that are good to others. And if we have nothing good to say, then we should remain silent. And I'm seeing many of the brothers in front of me from Masjid al-Rahman. And I remember throughout this week, we mentioned something really important during our tafsir, because we do tafsir over there on Wednesday nights. And one of the things that we mentioned in Masjid or at Masjid al-Rahman was the fact that ibadah can be of various different types. Right? Ibadah can be of various different types. And one of the types of ibadah can be nothing. As in, you don't do anything. Do you get it? We just finished saying the hadith, you see, only our youth get it. The adults are like, what are you talking about? Do nothing. Right? So don't pray? No, pray. Right? Fast. Give zakah. Give your, you know, pay your dues in whatever we're supposed to do. But when a person is going to commit sin, or a person is going to backbite, or a person is going to say something bad about someone else, if you have nothing good to say, nothing good to do, you're not going to do anything positive, you're not going anywhere that's good, don't do anything. Control yourself. Restrict yourself from doing that which is bad, and that in itself is a type of ibadah, because you're controlling yourself for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so subhanAllah, ibadah can actually be nothing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We move on insha'Allah ta'ala. The last thing that Yahya mentions is that when someone harms us, we are patient. And we've taken this very recently in our halaqat. When someone says something bad to us, someone who is jahil calls out to us, says something bad to us, how do we respond? Hey? Yeah, very good. Assalamu alaikum. Or we respond peacefully. We respond patiently. We respond in a good way, in a good manner, right? By saying something nice or doing something nice, or we could even just walk away, because that is the nicer thing to do than to do something bad. Now when we do that, when we're caught in that moment, when something comes up and things are really difficult for us, for example, I punch you. Okay? Do you want me to punch you? Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. I hope you said no, right? I don't want to punch you, right? But for example, I punch you. What do you do? If we have nothing good to say, we don't say it, right? Yes. Walk away and tell someone who's older. Very good. What else? I walk up to you and I punch you. What do you do? Mashallah, you're very strong. Alhamdulillah. I'll be like, yeah, you want to see how strong I am? Let me show you. What do you do? You'd walk away. Anyone else? I walk up to you and I punch you. What do you do? Ask if I'm okay? I'm like, yeah, everything's fine, man. Don't worry. You want another one? We'll show you how okay it is, right? What about you? I walk up to you and I punch you. Huh? You would? You would kick me. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, right? Were you just playing basketball? What if I walked out there and everyone who's really upset, we just start, you know, taking things and throwing it and, you know, telling them, you guys are useless, you're just wasting time, you came to the masjid, you're not doing anything positive, which playing basketball is not something that's negative, right? Alhamdulillah, you're full of energy. I could see your cheeks are all red, alhamdulillah, and you're sweating, right? You got your exercise, that's very good. But what if I came out there and I got really upset? How would you respond? You don't know, right? But would you start to throw things around? Would you start to break things? Would you start yelling back at me? If you needed to, maybe, right? If you needed to, you might do that. And it's your right to do it. But subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be patient. Yes. I wouldn't hit you because I might, maybe the brothers, right? Fight with the brothers, but mashallah, yes. In the example, what would you do? You would forgive me, alhamdulillah. Why? Because that's ihsan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do goodness towards others, but if we forgive that person, that is doing even more. That's doing even more and being better, and that's doing or dealing with the situation with ihsan. And so it's important for us to try and do that. Yes. Yeah. Nice try. He said if I punched him, he would know that I'm not the real Dawood butt. Alhamdulillah. We don't know, subhanAllah. We never know, alright? Okay, so what we learn from that example as well is that when a person gets upset, with how someone dealt with them, we need to control our anger. We need to control ourselves. And the Prophet ﷺ teaches us about this situation that the strongest of person is not someone who can show off with their strength or someone who is physically strong. Who is the strongest person, the Prophet ﷺ says? The person who can control their anger. The person who can control their anger is the strongest person. So anyone we know that gets angry regularly and loses it regularly is a person who is technically not strong. They're not strong here. They're not strong here. We need to help them. We need to be friends with them. We need to get close to them. We need to teach them. We need to support them. We need to be with them so that when they do get upset, we can help them to calm down. And that's absolutely important in our deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us in the few things that we learned this week, inshaAllah ta'ala. I'm cutting it short on purpose because there was a request. But before we get to that, inshaAllah, we do have a quiz that we will do for our youth, inshaAllah. For those that don't come regularly, or that are here for the first time, we do a Kahoot quiz. So if you have a phone with internet, or you have internet connection and a device, you can log on to kahoot.it. And you can play along with us, inshaAllah. The only downside to today is something you will learn at the end.
It's not a bad thing to learn.
Yeah, what's going on? Oh, it's not plugged in. Okay, alhamdulillah. Good. It should pick up now. Oh, yeah. Okay, there we go. For those that don't know, you simply go to this right here. At the top it says join at kahoot.it. KAHOOT.IT. Okay? You go to that website. It's free, don't worry. And you just put this game pin, 382-7138. And then you create a halal, good username. Okay? Not something bad. Yes. I do not... Wait, I don't know if the...
This is open.
Are you using it?
Yeah.
The Al-Falah one? The guest account? Okay, so what is it again? Al-Falah guest. Are you on it? Al-Falah guest. Okay, and the password is... remind me again, what is it?
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar, with capital A's. Allahu Akbar, 1, 2, 3. Okay. So, Allahu Akbar, A-L, capital A-L-L-A-H, U, capital A-K-B-A-R, 1, 2, 3. Okay? We'll just give you another 30 seconds, inshallah. Anyone else need more time? Does anyone need more time? Raise your hand if you need more time. Yeah? MashaAllah, tabarakallah. You should be a professional at this by now. He's logging in on 5 different accounts, right? So he wins. Khalas? Is that you? Anyone else need more time? Raise your hand if you need more time. Yeah? Okay. We'll give you another 15, 20 seconds, inshallah. Are we good? Are you guys logged on? No? No comment? That means you are. Okay, alhamdulillah. Hey, we're going to go. We're going to start, inshallah. You're doing this. That's the Saudi way. Wait, how much time do you need? Dawood punches. That's okay. Next time I'll kick you out for that. I won't kick you, I'll punch you out, right? No, I won't do that. I've never been in a physical fight. Alhamdulillah. Okay, are we good? We just got like, what, 6 players just joined. Okay, you guys okay there? Can we start? Yeah, good. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. Striving against one's desires. 8 questions. Question 1. Who said, strive against yourself with 4 items of training? Eat little, sleep little, etc. Who said that? Was it Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Yahya ibn Zakariya, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Yahya ibn Mu'adh al-Razi? Oh, subhanallah. How many of you got it wrong? Look at that. MashaAllah. Many of you got it wrong. I don't know how you got it wrong, but it was Yahya ibn Mu'adh al-Razi. I actually said his name so many times on purpose. Okay, we move to question number 2, inshallah. Don't worry, at the end there's a bonus question that I did not give the answer out to. Okay, so you do not know the answer to the last question. It's a bonus question. So it's technically like a free-for-all. Whoever guesses it will get it, inshallah. Okay, so you have a chance still. So in first place so far, we have that guy. Then we have someone who forgot their name. And Huzaifa, Jay, and FMSA. Hiya. Question 2. Based on the regular actions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the sunnah amount of eating? Is it until my hunger goes away, or until I'm full, or 1/3 of the stomach, or 2/3 of the stomach? Read the question properly. Okay, for some reason a lot of you chose 1/3 of the stomach, right? And we said, until my hunger goes away. That is the best according to the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why I put it bold and I said, read the question properly. Because according to the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he used to eat on a regular basis? He would eat until the hunger went away. And that was it. That's enough. It could be 2 bites, it could be 3 bites, it could be 5 bites, it could be 6 bites of food, and that's the end of it, right? We'll move on, inshallah. That guy is still on in first place. Question 3. When a person eats a lot, they tend to then breathe better, have a strong memory, sleep less, or sleep a lot? Okay, the correct answer is sleep a lot. Alhamdulillah, at least everyone knows their problem, right? Everyone knows that we sleep too much because we eat too much. Alhamdulillah. So let's try and cut down on some of the food that we eat and we'll sleep less. And then waking up for Fajr won't be such a big deal after all. Oh, that guy has been knocked down to 4th place. Nice try. Question 4. Which is not from the benefits of sleeping little? Your day has more useful time, your memory is strengthened, you become less lazy, you sleep so little that you feel exhausted. Which is not from the benefits of sleeping little? Alhamdulillah. You sleep so little that you feel exhausted. So make sure that you sleep. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, straight off the bat, for half of the night he would sleep. Right? For half of the night, right away. At least for half of the night he's going to sleep. Now, in the desert, sleeping for half the night is not like sleeping for half the night in the middle of June for us in Canada, right? half the night is only about 3-4 hours in total. So what, 2.5 hours of sleep, less than that? No, that's not how the Prophet ﷺ used to sleep, right? So in first place, we have that guy who's moved back up. Up 12 places is Ahmad. He's the highest climber. Where's Ahmad? MashaAllah, you're climbing. Keep climbing, inshaAllah. Hey, question number 5. Complete the following. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day should speak about good things, speak less and listen more, speak goodness or remain silent, listen double the amount that they speak. Okay, very good. Speak goodness or remain silent. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Okay? Alright, so that's how it stands so far. Question number 6. Based on Ar-Razi's statement, what should we do when someone harms us? Harm them back, speak less, report it, or be patient. You should all get this one. Okay, and the correct answer is be patient, right? So that's what he advised us to do, is to be patient and not to react in a negative way. Oh, what happened to that guy? Is this the last question? What question are we on now? Hey, question 7. Controlling blank is considered real strength. The tongue, anger, envy, or hatred? Shh, don't tell the answer to others. Okay, the correct answer is anger, alhamdulillah. 38 of you got it right. So controlling anger is considered real strength. We technically concluded with that, right? Okay, so now we're at the last question. This last question is a bonus question. I don't think any of you know this answer. Hopefully you don't. If you do, alhamdulillah, right? Hey, bismillah. Where will Dawood be next Friday? England, Canada, Australia, Malaysia. Choose one of them. Buy me the ticket and I'll go. Okay, the correct answer is... Oh, mashallah. 8 of you want me to... Who here wants me to go to the UK? I don't want to go to the UK. It rains all the time and the streets are really small. And the houses are tiny. Right? And Canada, alhamdulillah, we can't complain. Malaysia, 14 of you know that, mashallah, I used to live there and there's a special spot in my heart. But no, I'll be in Australia, insha'Allah ta'ala. Okay? So let's see how that went. I told you it was a bonus question. The only way for you to have known this question is if you were to have followed me on Snapchat. The only place I posted it yesterday was Snapchat, right? Subhanallah. What is your username? And my username is always DawoodButt. And Facebook is DawoodButt Official. That's the only one that's different. No space. Okay, so in first place, we don't know who's in first place. Alhamdulillah. Who's in first place? You're in first place? MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. How do we know? Show us your phone. No, I'm joking. We believe you, alhamdulillah. Who is 786? Right here, alhamdulillah. Okay, so that's the way it stands. Everyone knows their result? You got it on your phone? Alhamdulillah. So everyone gets the results on their phones, for those that don't know. We can, you know, save the results here and show you the results. But our brother, what's your name? Abdul Mannan, mashallah, came in first place. Let's just do... I just want to save it to my desktop.
I don't know where my desktop is. I don't see it there. Hanas. There we go. Desktop. Okay, here we go. And Okay, so these are the top 9, okay? Or let's do the top 10, alhamdulillah. Those are the top 10 that played tonight with us, alhamdulillah. And because tonight we're learning about controlling our desires, there's no prize tonight. There's no prize. And that's part of learning to control ourselves. You know, subhanAllah, I actually had a really nice prize. InshaAllah, next time you'll win it, right? A prize that came from Mecca, not the dates that I gave last time, but a nice prize. Actually came from Medina, this prize. And I actually forgot it at home, and I thought to myself, subhanAllah, I had it right next to my desk, right next to me, and I left it. And I thought to myself, this is Allah teaching us, we need to control ourselves. And so we're going to control ourselves. The point of winning is not to win something, it's to know that we learned something. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to continue to learn this deen through understanding the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well as the Quran.